In today's Microsoft Virtual Academy, we are going to be learning what's next. Microsoft recently came out with a whole lot of exciting new updates, particularly aimed at their education customers. So I've got three guests in studio today to talk about some of these exciting updates. Michael, you're up first. Thanks for joining us today. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you do at Microsoft.
Thanks for having me here, Megan. My name is Michael Maleny. I'm an education technology advisor. So I work with schools and partners to implement technology as best as possible, but also care very much about the human side of the whole process, how people use it and how they interact with it.
So Michael, you're going to be telling us a bit about the Creators Update. Mm. And people who have a Windows 10 laptop may have noticed that it recently did a whole 2 hour long upgrading process. And I know that my laptop did exactly that, but I wasn't too sure about, what was new, what was different. But now I've learned that one of the new tools that's on my laptop, having done this update, is 3D Paint. That sounds great. Tell us a bit about 3D Paint and why it's worth doing these updates.
Sure. So let me chat about the updates first, and then we'll jump into 3D Paint. People who've used Windows in the past had a very similar experience throughout the life cycle of that operating system. What I mean by that is if you bought Windows 7, it was very similar on the day you bought it to compare to, say, 4 years later. It didn't feel like too much changed. That's because all of these updates were in revisions of Windows. So you had Windows 7, then Windows 8, and then Windows 10. What's changed now is that every 6 months or so, Microsoft will release a new feature update to Windows. This is currently the Creators Update, but we've had the Anniversary Update in the past and other updates. The lovely thing about this for teachers and for schools is that they no longer really need to stress about this life cycle of operating systems. Every 6 months or so, they'll get a notification that their computer's updated to a new version of Windows 10, in this case, namely the Creators Update. And then there we go, we've got it. No bugging IT to install it or anything like that.
And with that update comes new sort of features, things that perhaps people didn't even know they had.
Exactly, yes. And one of them, as you mentioned, there was 3D Paint. So a lot of people in the past may have used traditional paint. I think it came out with the Windows 98 or maybe Windows XP. And that kick-started the youth into understanding the concept of digital art. Rather than using their pen and paper, they were going into traditional paint on their computer 10, 15 years ago maybe, and using Microsoft Paint to, like I said, kickstart this idea. What we've done is we've got Paint 3D now. It's a very similar concept, introducing the concept of 3D modeling and 3D painting to the youth, to teachers, in an easy and simple to use fashion. And it comes with this Creators Update. So what I'd like to do now is demonstrate it for you.
Please,
quickly.
Please do, because I'm keen to try this myself, but wasn't actually sure how to get started.
Perfect. So what we can see here is a very easy to understand interface. It's not incredibly complicated or anything like that. And someone who's using this can instantly see that they've got stickers and objects and 3D models. So for an example here, I can take a little fish here and put my fish in, let's make my fish bigger. Now let's go back to here and make my fish a little Nemo fish. So I'm going to paint my fish, let's take the bucket, paint my fish orange. Let's give our fish some white stripes here, like there. And there's cool little stickers that you can bring in. You can take a little sticker and put the eye on the sticker. Now that's an incredibly big eye.
That now looks like a killer whale.
But yeah. And then move the sticker onto it. So I won't go through absolutely everything on building this whole thing, but as you can see, I've gone and made myself a little 3D object here, and it's not just this flat 2D image. I'm going to rotate it here. You can see it's a full 3D object. What this is doing for the youth is it's starting to make them grasp and understand the concept of 3D paint and all of this. There's a community as well, so you'll see here there's a little Remix 3D community where your creations that you can make yourself or get from other individuals, you can go and download additional artwork that people have done in a community style fashion. And the very, very cool thing about Paint 3D is that it integrates natively with 3D printers that are currently out on the market. So not only can the students and teachers get involved in creating all the stuff, they can take a 3D printer and print out their creations today.
So like you've just made a little goldfish. Mm. If your school had a 3D printer, you could print that little fish.
Exactly, yes, yeah. And you'll see in like some of the other things that people have made here, there's little aliens and dogs and really, really cool stuff that people have created. It's a fantastic way to kickstart this journey into 3D modeling.
And into thinking in three dimensions, because a 3D printer is a lovely thing for a school to have, but it's an expensive piece of equipment. Whereas, you know, if the Creators Update is free and schools already have laptops and they have Windows 10, maybe their students couldn't print what they've created, but they could still manipulate it and see it in 3D and get that three-dimensional experience.
Yes, yeah. And if you've got the Creators Update, you can right now go onto your Windows 10 machine, search for Paint 3D, and it's sitting there waiting for you to use.
Also, that interface looks so simple. I'm working at a school at the moment where the little ones, the grade ones and twos, are using traditional Microsoft Paint as their introduction to computers. And that's how they're learning, you know, to click and to drag and to, you know, hold the button and pull it along. And they're starting to learn, okay, if I click the little bucket, it fills things up. And if I click the thing that looks like a pencil, I can draw like a pencil. So once a child has mastered those basics, it's not that much of a leap to then extend that learning to the Paint 3D.
Exactly. I mean, in this demo we've done here, we've done a pre-existing fish that was available in the library. And you can see you can download ones that other people have created. But there is a little freehand drawer that allows you to create your own objects. And then, like you said, today you're creating a 3D fish and tomorrow you're creating the 3D blueprints for the newest shopping center.
Okay. And I see you've got a stylus for your device. Mm. So you can draw with that. Can this work on a device that doesn't have a stylus?
Absolutely. So I've got a device here that does have a stylus, but if you've just got a mouse and a keyboard, all these things will work 100%.
Okay, well, that's certainly one worth trying out. Mm. And I think it would also be nice to see what examples other people have uploaded for some inspiration and to get going. I'm trying to think of how this could be integrated into subjects. You've already given one idea of students designing shopping malls, but it also would be nice for them to sort of model solutions to other problems, much like they could do in Minecraft. They could, you know, sort of come up with an invention and then model it in 3D.
Yes,
Can you think of any other educational applications?
I've weirdly heard of some applications being done for sporting scenarios where they create different like fields and stuff like that and movements of play. It has a great application for any form of human sciences, natural sciences, geography, the ability to mold and create your own landscapes and 3D create different rolling hills and iconic landmarks throughout the world, yes, in a miniature scale, and print them home and take home Table Mountain and show your parents you printed out Table Mountain in 3D.
Or even for a geography teacher trying to teach, you know, sort of contour lines to then see, you know, get the students to look at a contour map and then draw, you know, how those hills might look or how those landforms might look. Also for sort of technical drawing students, you know, the craze at the moment is those fidget spinners. I've heard of schools with 3D printers getting students to design and 3D print their own fidget spinners.
Yes.
So the applications are sort of endless. Also for schools that are doing sort of STEM as a subject. You know, there are loads of practical applications for this great tool.
Yeah, the lovely thing about it is that it's included in the Creators Update and it kickstarts that journey into understanding 3D modeling without having to fork out a massive thing on a third-party piece of software. It's there, it's available, it's a uniform interface across all of it. The kids pick it up and instantly before they know it, they're creating things far better than what I could.
Well, that really sounds like it's, for that alone, worth getting the Creators Update. Speaking of all things free, Tell me a bit about Microsoft Edge and how that can really sort of give students the edge when it comes to browsing online.
So Edge is an internet browser that's included with Windows 10. And there's some great features that have come into Edge with the Windows 10 Creators Update. It's probably the biggest focus in terms of an internet browser for education solutions that we've ever seen. There are three things that I would like to show you now in Edge on how it can benefit teaching and learning. But before we jump into those, it's also got a great focus on security. We do understand that allowing children access to the internet is not necessarily risky, but there is a concern there. So Edge is our safest browser yet. Each tab operates in its own little container. Anyone who understands the technicalities behind that will appreciate that. And if you are sending your kids out onto the internet, it's incredibly safe to do so using Microsoft Edge.
Okay. And they can do all of this and have all of that safety without spending money on another sort of net nanny piece of software.
Yeah. So let's jump straight into to some of the features. The first one is that, as you can see here on the screen, built into Edge is an ebook reader. So there is a store where you can get all sorts of free classics. I'll show you here. So here you can see some free classics that are available to the students. And also, if you have the Windows Store for Business, you have the opportunity to publish your own in-house content through your Windows Store for Business. So just hopping back to this e-reader here, not only is it, this is Wuthering Heights, I remember reading this at school, not only is it an e-book reader, but it also has accessibility tools for the children. So as you can see here, I'm going through all these different pages as normal, but I can also change the font if I am visually impaired or I want to change it up there. I can change the spacing, I can change the font style, so you can see I can change it on different things. And if I've got specific vision requirements, I can have a nice kind of toned down background or put into a dark mode reading sense here. For children who English is not the first language or may have reading difficulties, there is a built-in narrator on every single ebook. And as you can see here,
my perseverance in soliciting the
the narrator goes through the entire book and reads it out to you. That narrator can have its voice changed as well as the pace of the reading changed.
So Michael, that really sounds like it would help students to read more effectively, particularly students with sort of reading difficulties or perhaps challenges with eyesight. Mm. And also for those auditory learners who maybe process information better through hearing it than through reading it, that inbuilt narration also sounds great. What about if a student wants to make his or her own notes sort of on the text? Is that possible?
That is absolutely possible, both through this reading thing here, as well as live websites. I'd like to jump to a different tab here, a Wikipedia page on photosynthesis. So this here, as you can see on my screen, is a live Wikipedia page right now on this entire process. Now it's chock-a-block full of incredibly important information, but I want to highlight some of that information as being more relevant and distribute that to my peers. So built into Edge is the ability to have direct markups. So you can see these familiar tools that we're quite used to with OneNote pop up here. And you know, I decide that that paragraph here, as you can see, I want to make that very important. And because it's a live thing, I'm not just marking up an image, I can now carry on browsing down. Highlight that that's very important there. There's highlighting tools, snipping tools, all that stuff. And I'm making all these annotations on a live website now, as you can see. And when I'm ready to distribute it, I say, great, I think that my peers and colleagues would really enjoy this. I can share it out externally using all these different factors. I can mail it, I can save it into a OneNote, I can Skype it to people, all sorts of things there. And this, I think, is one of the coolest things as I've seen in the Creators Update.
So I can see applications for that for both a teacher and for students.
Yes.
If a teacher is giving students, you know, that article on photosynthesis to sort of read for homework, he or she could annotate it in advance, sort of saying, you know, these are the important bits, or maybe they're bits that they can disregard, you know, sort of don't worry about this for now. But a teacher can also expect the students to annotate what they're reading as a way of helping them to recall that content, And to be active readers. You know, if you sort of are underlining or highlighting key bits, it helps you to remember that information.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I was studying at school, I was definitely a fiddle with my page type of student. I would highlight, underline, all that kind of stuff. Rather than needing to print it out now and go through that process, I can use my device on live websites, on live content, and annotate and edit it there. Again, same story with Paint. I was using my stylus there. If you don't have a stylus, you can still use your mouse and have the same experience.
So that book that you showed earlier, that was Wuthering Heights, and it's a classic and it's available for free on the store.
Yes.
But are there other books that perhaps you have to pay for, but it makes the collection bigger?
Yeah, there's tons and tons of books throughout the Windows Store. And as mentioned earlier, you also have the ability to set up the Windows Store for schools. And there you can publish your own content through there, as well as restrict what kind of content that you want to get out there. And that's a seamless experience for anyone who's got this entire environment set up.
Okay. So, Michael, while we're talking about effective reading, what about if a student is looking at a website and there's a whole lot of sort of clutter around what they're looking at, sort of adverts popping up and other content that distracts them. Is there a way that Edge can help them to focus on what they're meant to be reading?
Yes, absolutely. It's what's called reading mode. And you'll see now on my screen here, I'm going to an article by The Guardian on by Stephen Hawking. But if we just look at this page right now, that's a lot of stuff on there, and there's very little article on there. So you'll see in the address bar, there's a little book icon there. And just by, well, let me just prove to you that further on down here, there is some content and all that kind of stuff. And there's ads and other articles, and there's social media links and all that kind of stuff. By clicking on that little book icon there, I'm able to convert this page into reading mode. And it takes away all of the clutter and adverts and stuff like that, and gives me the article here in a much easier to read experience. As you can see, this looks very similar to Wuthering Heights, which we were reading just now, similar style and all of that, but it's just the content that is important to the student without the distractions surrounding it.
I mean, I realize that, you know, an online newspaper, they have to sort of cover their costs somehow. And often that's done through sort of advertising on the site or, you know, sort of other pop-ups. But for a student who's trying to focus on the content they need to study, it's great that you can put it in a view that just gives you, you know, the part you need to read without being distracted by the other bits and pieces.
Exactly. That's the main reason it was introduced.
So Michael, what about somebody who's reading at night? Are there any sort of features or things there that a student could do to help make the screen more reader-friendly?
Absolutely. So during normal light situations, a computer monitor is maybe not the best thing for your eyes, but it's not as bad as it could be. But during night, when your eyes start to get tired and all of that, you do want a more relaxed environment. You don't want this bright light shining right into your eyes. So what we do have in Windows 10 is what's called night mode. So going back to this article here on photosynthesis, it's an incredibly light and bright background. And at night, this might feel like the second sun. But if we go into the action center at the bottom right and simply tick night light, it presents a far less harsh color, these very neutral tones and all of this. This is a feature that's been on mobile phones for quite some time, and now to have it on your PC is absolutely fantastic.
I know when I'm reading in bed at night, I like to put it on the dim version, so as not to sort of keep my husband awake with my reading. But I can see how that would really be valuable for students, particularly because we want them to take care of their eyesight.
Absolutely. And I manually enabled it there. It can be put on a schedule or a timer to say when it hits a certain hour in the evening, automatically put it into night light for me.
That sounds great. One less thing to worry about. So before you go, can you talk a bit more about safety and security and how Windows 10 really helps to keep students safe in the online environment?
Absolutely. So Windows 10 Education Edition comes with Windows Defender. It's our latest and greatest antivirus built right in. Without going too deep into the technicalities, it protects and saves your computer in a way that previous versions of Windows didn't. Anyone who's interested in the technicalities can start looking about how it does it at the hypervisor level and all this kind of stuff. But on a surface approach, it's the safest version of Windows yet. And the nice thing is we want people to be able to overview and control this experience. And what we have available to students and teachers is this, the Windows Defender Security Center. It takes all the little bits of your security requirements and displays them to you in one dashboard. It shows you if you have any viruses or threats, any recommendations on how to secure your PC more, if you've got your firewall working, and any form of self-imposed or school-imposed restrictions on apps and content. There is also the family options. That's not really related to the education environment, but that allows you to set screen restrictions on a child. So for example, the child may only go on the computer from 7 p.m. onwards and for a maximum of 2 hours or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, and it shuts down at bedtime.
Yes.
Okay, well that really sounds useful. And also, just like the 3D Paint, it's there free as part of you know, the Creators Update. This again is something that's offered free as part of Windows 10. So schools can actually sort of use budget that they were perhaps spending on another sort of antivirus or security system on something else.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. School budget needs to be sent on things like bursaries and teacher developments and all of that. We want to make sure we give the latest and greatest as much as possible to the institutions, so that budget can be allocated to things more important than antiviruses or something like that. So that's why Windows 10 comes with all these features: Paint 3D, Windows Defender, and all these other things, ebook readers, to enhance the experience for the teachers and the learners, and that the school themselves can allocate that budget to different elements.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for telling us about some of these features, because a lot of them have been on my laptop now for a couple of weeks and I didn't actually know they were there. But now that you've sort of told me about them, I'm very keen to try them out, particularly that 3D Paint. That really looks like fun. And it's great to know that in a few months' time, I'll be getting more of these updates so that my Windows 10 laptop, you know, sort of keeps getting better and better as new features come out.
Thank you. Yes. The very important thing to note about these features that we've discussed right now is it's the tip of the iceberg. The Creators Update came with so many additional things: sticky notes, enhanced sticky notes, game mode, all these various things. Anyone can go into a search engine and search for Windows 10 Creators Update features. We just simply don't have enough time to go over all the things that have come in the Windows 10 Creators Update now. These are mainly the top things that someone like a teacher or a student would find immediately beneficial.
Okay, so try out these one or two things that we've talked about first and then move on to all the others. Thanks so much, Michael. I'm keen to try them out. But thanks for being our guest in studio today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So in this Microsoft Virtual Academy, we're learning all about what's new and what's next from Microsoft, specifically for Microsoft Education. With me now is Damien Nelson. Damien, tell us a bit about what you do for Microsoft and what your responsibilities are.
So thanks, Megan. My name's Damien, and I'm the Product Marketing Manager for Office for the local subsidiary. And we really kind of focus on three areas: brand awareness, demand generation, and then readiness of our local channel and customers and everyone else.
Okay, so you're here today to tell us about Microsoft Teams. So first of all, what is it?
So over the last 4 years with Office 365, we've had a lot of great tools inside of the toolset, right? We've got things like Yammer, and we've got SharePoint, we've got email, we've got Skype. And really what we wanted to create with Teams was a single digital hub and workspace for people to create content together, to have meetings together, to share files, to collaborate, to do everything in kind of this digital hub workspace, which has now become Teams.
Okay, so from an education perspective, a lot of what you've just described sounds a bit like Microsoft Classroom. So has Microsoft Teams replaced Classroom in the education space?
It really is a great question. So if we think about what Classroom was, it was kind of the digitization of a physical classroom, right? We had the teacher and the student engagement, but we literally picked it up from the physical classroom and we put it online. And over the last kind of 18 months with Classroom in preview, we've been working with a lot of schools and teachers and students to understand, does that engagement really work for them? what's missing and how do we take it to the next level? And so we decided that, look, Classroom is a great platform and fundamentally it does what we need it to do. But we wanted to take it further. We wanted to encourage the collaboration. We wanted to enable people across multiple devices, not limiting it to a certain web page or website or whatever they needed to go to. And so Teams is really the realization of that vision to say, we can do everything we could do in Classroom, but we're going to be able to do it more. We're going to be able to do it with a little bit of edu spin on it. We're going to just be able to make it a fun classroom engagement in the way we want to show up in that space.
And really, the whole idea of a beta view is to get that feedback and that input and to take the features that were working well and to build on those and to try and make a better product for schools in the end.
Absolutely. I mean, if we think about what we do with Office 365, what we did with Windows 10 and the Insider builds, I think we've really turned the corner when it shows that we want to listen to what people are saying. We want to develop our products around that experience. And Classroom is evident of that, really, saying it's great, it works, but we want to do more and you're telling us you want more from it, so let's go and give you what you want.
Okay, so what about schools that have already started using Microsoft Classroom? If they've got their Classroom set up and they've got all of their students in their virtual Microsoft Classroom, is it just going to stop working?
So we wouldn't just go and switch it off. I don't think that would be fair to anyone. So what we're doing is for the rest of this kind of calendar year for us in South Africa, you can continue with those classroom engagements that you've got going and you can use the existing classrooms that you have. We are preventing schools from opening new classrooms because we don't now want a conflict between the two platforms. What we are doing is we're bringing Teams for Education into a kind of preview at the end of July, so start of August, and then from next calendar year, so 2018 for us, it'll be the kind of full production product that we want people to be utilizing for classroom collaboration.
So at lots of schools, the early adopter teachers have perhaps already got a couple of classrooms set up and they can see out the school year using those classrooms. And then from the beginning of August, they can start setting up their teams so that when the new school year kicks off in January, their teams are set up and ready to roll out.
Absolutely, and at the same time, they get a feel for the new product. They can spend a couple of months learning what it does, how it works, and what that engagement is going to start to look like in the new experience. Plus, they can start playing around with the applications around tablets and phones and everything. And at the same time, they can know whatever they've invested inside a classroom, we have the ability to assist them to migrate that content, things like the OneNotes and the files and everything else, across and into this team space that we're going to be creating.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question. The one aspect of Office 365 that teachers keep telling us how much they love is the OneNote class notebooks. So teachers who've already set those notebooks up can easily migrate those into their team site.
Well, look, there's a lot of great stuff that we did inside of Classroom. The assignment section, the quizzes, the ability to use OneNote class notebooks. And so we're retaining all of that and we're retaining the infrastructure and bringing it across to Teams. So absolutely OneNote class notebooks will be in there and we'll have the ability to help migrate the content across to make sure that there is that same work and hard efforts that they put in for last year is not just gone to waste. We want to make sure that they continue using that. And when we think about Teams and ultimately what it becomes, because it's this digital hub, everything is going to be inside of this application, right? We're not going to be taken off to another app to go do something here or a web browser to do something else. We're going to live inside of this app. We're going to have the persistent chat. We have the ability to add the OneNote, the assignments, and everything else. And for a classroom engagement, that means I'm not jumping around. That means I'm just in one app. I'm living in this space, and I can do everything, including segment my class into groups. It really is a far more effective and better way of collaborating and working in that classroom experience.
And just like most new things, teachers just need to get used to it. And, maybe the interface looks a little bit different, but they can do everything that they could do before and a bit more. And for teachers that are using this tool for the first time, it's quite easy to navigate around.
Absolutely. So what we did originally is we launched Teams kind of in a preview in the beginning of the year for our commercial customers. In April, it kind of got us a little fanfare and everyone was made aware of what was happening. And ultimately, what we saw was great adoption inside of our commercial space, right? Customers who hadn't been trained on it, who hadn't used it before, who were first exposed to it, were familiar with ultimately what Teams is trying to do, right? Teams uses persistent chat, which means the conversation never goes away. It's always in line and we can track what's going on. We can have a little bit of fun, including Giphys and everything else, to add a little bit of spice to the conversation, but it feels very natural, right? We have the ability to add people like we would in social media. We can have hashtags to create topics. Our files are right there. We can publish dashboards. It just becomes quite natural to click around and feel out the space for yourself. And so we find that people onboarding onto it, utilizing it, and kind of adopting this new way of working is something that comes without a lot of effort to them.
It also sounds to me like with taking teams to the education space, teachers and students are getting all of the benefits of what you've learned in the commercial space, but specifically geared now towards what will work in a school.
Absolutely. So Teams as itself, as it sits right now, is definitely aimed at the commercial and enterprise space. But then we're bringing in those educational aspects. We're bringing in assignments. We're bringing in OneNote class notebooks. And that's kind of what we're waiting for the end of July, beginning of August, for all that functionality to be available.
So Damien, if a school's already got Office 365, is this now something new that they're going to have to download, or will it just be there the next time they go in?
So what we've taken the decision to do with Teams is we've decided to give it to all of our education customers. A lot like we do with Office 365 for education, where it's free across the board, no matter what commitment you've made to Microsoft. This is just another service that continues that continuous development that we've been putting into Office 365. So yes, for now it needs to be switched on, but come around into July, beginning of August, it'll automatically be switched on, or it'll be automatically activated, and then people have the ability to then go and assign the relevant licenses and do everything else they need to do. But it doesn't cost anything extra. It's included in the bundle. There's an app for mobile phones and tablets, which is free. You can use it in the web browser if you like. It's very easy to access.
So if a school's already got Office 365, eventually it'll just be there. But if there's still schools out there that maybe haven't signed up for Office 365 for education and are now thinking, gee, that Teams sounds great, we want to get that at our school, but in order to access Teams, they need Office 365 for education, how can schools go about signing up?
So to get a hold of Office 365 for education is actually quite simple, right? office.com/education. And then if you're a student, you can type in your email address for your school and you can go ahead and grab that. But for the IT pros and the kind of IT managers, there'll be a little sign up button where you enroll your school, go through the process, get approved for academic rights, and the licenses will be in there. Really no trouble at all. And then you can start the onboarding process of bringing in the students, the faculty, and enabling classroom rosters and everything else that you need to be doing.
So an IT person at a school can do that themselves, or if a school's maybe needing a little bit of hand-holding or some guidance, I imagine they could get hold of one of your authorized education resellers or a technical partner who usually helps a school with their IT needs.
Absolutely. Look, we're trying to keep Office 365 and the management thereof as simple as possible. But there's definitely a space for our AEPs to work with our customers in the schools to help them on board, help them with things like, how do I get it to my students? How do I assist them? How do I make sure that they have all the tools that they need to be successful as students and teachers?
Okay. Well, Damien, thanks so much for joining us today and for telling us about what's next and what's new to look out for. I'm sure lots of schools will be keen to try out Teams, and I'm sure schools that haven't yet signed up for Office 365 now have an added incentive to get with the program.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me.
So in this Microsoft Virtual Academy, we've been learning what's next. And with me is my third studio guest, Renee Moodley, who's going to tell us more about Intune for Education. Before we get into Intune for Education though, Renee, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do at Microsoft.
Thanks, Megan. So I am the Education Device Solution Sales Professional at Microsoft, and I'm focused on assisting customers in terms of large-scale deployment of devices and technologies into schools.
Okay, so you focus on large-scale deployments, but if we're thinking about schools here, for IT managers or for teachers at school, trying to manage the devices just in their institution, I'm sure can be a nightmare.
That's great.
How do you think Intune Education can help? And what is Intune for Education?
So Intune for Education is our mobile device management solution. So Microsoft has a whole bunch of devices in the market to date, but how do we simplify management of these units? When kids bring in their own devices into the classroom, you know, not having the correct application stack on these devices causes havoc in the classroom, where the teacher should be focusing on teaching instead of doing IT support. So Intune for Education is a new product that will be released where it simplifies and manages the devices within the classroom itself.
So I'm thinking at a school, if a teacher is expecting students to perhaps make a PowerPoint presentation, if the school's a bring your own device school, maybe not every child will have PowerPoint downloaded. And then it's a hassle for a teacher to say, okay, who's got PowerPoint? Who has something else? You know, let's update, let's install. Are you saying this is a way for a teacher to deploy sort of an app across devices?
That's correct. So using the technologies of Azure Active Directory and Office 365, it becomes a very simple step of just clicking a few buttons and then being able to push these applications onto these devices that come into the classroom.
So the teacher or the technical support person at the school wouldn't need to physically get each teacher's device or each child's device in. They could do this remotely.
That's correct. That's 100% correct. And that's what the application is designed for. It's to make things a bit simpler. How do I enforce simple policies onto the device where the kids are not installing third-party applications that they shouldn't be installing? How do I control that device experience within the classroom? Because you do not want the kids to be distracted and focusing on surfing the internet when the teacher's teaching a geography session at that point in time.
And even in terms of surfing the internet, if each child has to, say, download a specific app, that would use up a lot of bandwidth, whereas this makes it a lot easier to deploy the same app across devices.
Yeah, so this is a cloud-ready application, so it would use internet connectivity. But the beauty part about this is that I don't have to be limited in terms of sitting and doing this in the classroom itself. I can be at home, I can be in the car, I can be at a restaurant, and I can enforce a new application across all of these devices once they get internet connected.
Okay, and then the teacher wouldn't be wasting that precious class time making sure that the devices are good to go. The teacher could maybe chat to the IT person ahead of time and say, you know, this is the app we need to use. Can you make sure that it's on everyone's device by Monday?
That's correct. And another beauty part about it is a lot of schools have laboratories where they have PC devices and they've got multiple users. So this will enable a function where the kids can come in with a USB stick, plug it into the device, and their profile's already there. So they would be able to load their content, everything's ready for them to get going at that point in time. And once they log off, their profile's removed from the device as well.
Well, that's another huge advantage. I'm helping out at a school at the moment that has a computer lab. And, you know, each child has been assigned to a specific computer that they always use when it's their class's turn to go to computers. And they each have a folder on that device. But there's always the fear that somebody is going to go into another class's folder and delete their work or perhaps copy sort of something another child has done and passing it off as their own. Whereas what you saying, the child only sees his or her profile when they're working on that shared device, and then they take it home with them.
Well, it's not only that. It's also about being able to control that experience. So I've built a stick, right, which has my list of applications I approved at the school. So when these students plug into the device, their list of applications come preloaded onto the unit itself. The beauty part about this is that using technologies like OneDrive, they are able to save this information on a secure platform using OneDrive and being able to access it from any device on any place from anywhere.
Well, that really sounds great. So Renee, how can schools go about getting Intune for Education? Is it out there yet?
So it will be out in the coming months. What they should be doing is actually having a discussion with the authorized education resellers in order to get more information about the technology.
So an authorized education reseller would be the company or the person who already has a relationship with the school.
Correct, the IT company.
And they should speak to their AER and say, you know, when Intune for Education comes out, you know, we want to be first in the queue to get it.
And if they want more information, it's publicly available, ms. Sorry, I forgot. It's but Microsoft.com, Intune for Education.
So somebody could just search for it and they'd be able to find it.
Correct.
Well, Renee, that really sounds great. And it sounds to me like it's going to save teachers and IT managers at school a whole lot of headaches with regards to managing devices. And I'm hoping that it will encourage teachers to make more use of technology, because they won't have their excuse of saying, oh, it's such a hassle, to make sure everyone's got what they need. Yeah. This makes it easy to deploy across devices.
And that's it. It's like most of the times the schools say, I want a simple management solution. And what we've done with the product is bringing that history that we know from a corporate base, as well as being able to engage with schools and find out exactly what they want. So there's preloaded policies that's already enabled onto the device. With a simple click yes or no, I can allow and I can disallow certain activities onto the devices, the student devices, or even the faculty devices, if they choose to.
So somebody's already put a whole lot of work into thinking
Correct.
About what policies will work for education generally, and a school can then decide which of those they want to deploy at their school.
That's good.
Renee, that really sounds great. Thanks for telling us what's next with regards to Intune for Education. We'll be looking out for that.
Thanks,
Renee.
Cheers.
So this has been a really exciting Microsoft Virtual Academy, as we've learned what's next and what's new in terms of Microsoft tools and offerings, particularly as they apply to Microsoft schools. Do get your laptops up to date and try out some of these updates for yourself. And be sure to sign up for Microsoft Office 365 for your school if you haven't done so already, so that you can continue to enjoy these features. Look out for us next time as we find out more about what's on offer from Microsoft for Education. Goodbye.